Hello, all you lovely people. We're coming to you again from our mother's basement. I'm Emily.
And I'm Elp.
And in case anyone's wondering, we have dealt with a flood problem. It's just like half an inch or something right now. So we're totally fine down here.
Good thing we got those rain boots on sale.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mine have flowers. They're like super cute. So today we are talking about Ark of a Scythe, the series by Neil Schusterman. The first book, Scythe, just called Scythe. Was a Prince Award winner, and then the whole series is New York Times bestselling series. So, pretty good books. For our overall ratings, we're giving it a 3 on romance, 2 on language, and 3.5 on violence, and we'll explain the violence a little bit more, because the book is sort of, it's about killing, but that's like the world that it lives in, so the violence is within context, but sometimes it gets a little bit outside of context.
Right, so let's describe the world that it's in.
Oh yeah,
so that we can understand why we gave... Actually, when I first saw this book being advertised, I would try to avoid it, and then I couldn't avoid it any longer, and I read it, and I loved the first book so much, I threw it at Emily, and I said, you must read this now!
It hurt, it was directed.
I guess we could call it a utopian world. It's a utopian world where society has solved death. But because they don't want the population to get too big for the planet, they've created the Order of the Scythe, and they glean the population, which is basically their way of keeping the population in check. Because otherwise people just live forever, and there's this idea of turning a corner where you could kind of reset your years. And in order to just make sure that the population stays under check, certain people are selected to be scythes, and they have different ways that they're allowed to kill people to keep the population in check, as mentioned.
Yes, they actually have 10 commandments so that they keep themselves. Yes, it's their job to glean, not kill. Sort of a differentiation between the terms kill and murder, because it's their job to glean and keep the population in check, but they can't focus. They can't discriminate and kill only certain types of people, and if a member of a family is killed, then the rest of that family is granted immunity for an entire year. So it's supposed to keep this order of scythes in check.
Right. So the basic story, even though we have a lot of different characters to follow, the basic story is following a boy and a girl who are now being taken on to apprentice to a scythe. And we sort of follow their journey, you know, in this new world that they have to deal with, that they've now become the people who are being trained to glean people, and how they end up fighting the system, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But that's where the young adult aspect of these books come from, even though definitely adult crossover, any adult can definitely enjoy these books as well.
Yeah. I think the reason why it would be so interesting for adults to read is because it brings up so many interesting philosophical questions, which is one of the great things I think about young adult in general, as opposed to some just regular adult novels, that it's set in such an interesting alternate reality that you're forced to think about things that you wouldn't otherwise think of. Like, number one, is immortality a good thing? And should there be people who can take other people's lives to keep the population in check? Does the population really need to be kept in check?
There's also questions about what is a person's motivation if there's nothing to rush them. If you know that your years are forever, then there's no rush to learn new things. At the same time, if you know that if you sort of die, you could be brought back to life, you take greater risks, possibly. You wouldn't be afraid to jump out of a plane because you know they'll bring you back afterwards. You don't even need a parachute. In this world, you could be brought back. Unless basically you're eaten, I think.
Yes, the only...
Unless there's no parts to bring back.
Yes, you're rendered dead-ish if you fall off a building. Dead-ish because you can be brought right back to life. And your memory can live on. So, yeah, you really don't die. So really, yes, for adults and for young adults, a lot of interesting things to think about with these books.
Yeah, Neil Schusterman is very good with creating very thought-provoking worlds and books, which is... I think it's part of his appeal. And I remember after I read the first book of the series, I was just thinking that I wish more young adult books would be so...
Yeah.
Had so much depth and just be so thought-provoking in this kind of way. But going back now to talking about the gleanings, this is part of where our violence rating comes in, because there are two, there's multiple schools of thought between the Scythes and the Gleaning, but you do have the schools of thought that think gleaning has to be done with dignity. They glean in merciful, benevolent kind of ways, versus the one Scythe who's like, gleaning, death should be with glory, and I'll take a blowtorch to people and just blowtorch them.
Yeah.
Because that's, it should, everything, he just...
He feels like he's egomaniacal, and he's like, I am God brought to you to bring you to your end times. And he also supports like mass murders, like let's go into a shopping mall and kill a bunch of people. Oh, sorry, glean.
Yeah.
Which is also interesting, the fact that they use the word glean instead of kill makes one think about murder and death in an interesting, how they think about it in this world.
Right.
In an interesting way.
Because theoretically, he's doing his job. He's just choosing to... Does he have to do it like that? So that's why also part of the different... the thought-provokingness of this series, that does bring it into play. Because sure, eventually we could all say, oh, he's the villain and antagonist. But if this is what he was raised to be, he just went off the deep end with it a little bit.
Yeah.
A lot of it.
Yeah, if you're supposed to kill, what's the difference between killing one person and killing... several or multiple or many at once.
Right. If he's still keeping within, he's keeping the population in check.
Yeah.
So I'm like, obviously, well, I should hope that it's obvious that we don't agree with his methods, but
just within,
in this world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that is why the violence rating is high. It's never too explicit. We're not talking body parts dripping with blood down walls or anything like that. But there are times when multiple people are killed, or there's, in the last book, there's a big riot and people are killed and then their bodies are burned. So it's maybe not talking about the smell of charred flesh, but it's painted enough of a picture that if you're reading it, you're calling up images to mind, and it can be pretty, it was uncomfortable and sad. So I think that's why that 3.5, even though within the context, yes, their job is to kill, go a little overboard sometimes.
Right. And then the first book is relatively clean. Even describing the violence, it doesn't get... We do still have some of those sort of scenes. It doesn't get as bad. The romance, I think there's maybe one kiss in the first book. But it's really in the second book that we see between the two, or two protagonists that we're following, the boy and the girl. They do have a scene. He doesn't describe it too much, but we know that they're sleeping, that they have a moment of sleeping togetherness. That's in the second book.
Yes. And brought up again in the third book, which follows, even though it took several years to be published, follows pretty much exactly where the second one ends.
Yeah. I think if there was a way to only read the first book, then I don't have to read the other two books, because you want to keep to the cleanest book, it's probably the first book. Obviously, the second two books really expand the universe. And if you want to see what ends up happening, you'd have to follow these other two books.
Yes. And
but
it is worth
certain seeing. Things do get a little bit more as the books progress.
Definitely. It's sort of like if you read the first book when you were 15 as a young adult, by the time the third book came out, maybe you're 18 or 19 and maybe a little bit more ready for it. Because this last book, which I just finished and I could not put down, it was one of those, I love when I finally get a book that I, not only can I not put down, but I can actually stay awake. Because these days, if I pick up a book, I'm asleep within 5 minutes. But this one was so good.
I'm glad Emily's saying that, because I, not only did I put it down, but I even gave it to her to finish reading before me, because the beginning was a little hard for me. I wanted to start more within the action than it did.
It did take a while to get into the story. There was a lot of build up, but once it got there, it was a page turner. But yeah, definitely a little bit for a slightly older young adult audience. The romance, the violence. Language is still pretty good.
Right.
Damn it. You know, things like that. Ass, donkey, whatever term we're using.
That
I can't
term,
believe I just
yeah.
said that out loud.
Yeah.
But it's pretty good. In fact, you had an interesting thing from the first book about...
In the second book, I actually have the version... Barnes & Noble was selling, for the second and third book, they were selling like the exclusive edition that has the author's notes in the back, where he kind of gives commentary in each of the chapters. which if you could pick up that version, that's great. It's always interesting to know what a writer's thinking. And he points out, there's at the end of chapter 12, because we went to go look it back up, he has one point where one of the characters says to an authority figure, he says, screw it, or screw you, or something like that. I think he says screw you. And he writes in the back that he wanted to write the F word there, but his editor told him to take it out because he would lose educational sales on that. There's a lot of school libraries that won't let a book in if it has the F word in it. So for our pearl-clutching perspective, we are grateful that the editor said that.
Yes.
It seems Neil Schusterman wasn't overly impressed that he had to take it out. He also mentions that, I mean, these are not his first books. He has a bunch of books, and he says it's the first time he's ever really wanted to drop the F-bomb. And the editor, we have to thank the editor for saving him from that. And it's actually interesting because the first two books in the series has one editor, and then it seems he mentions in the acknowledgments of the third book that his editor, I think, got sick. Which is very unfortunate.
Yeah, and it doesn't go into specifics.
Right. So you see, the third book is a little bit longer, and it's interesting. I wonder which decisions could have been made one way or the other. I don't even know, but because that it's a different editor, it is something to bear in mind because editors make a huge have a huge impact on the way a book turns out. And it's just an interesting thing to think about.
Yeah.
Or to bear in mind.
One of the other interesting things about these books is that in between the chapters, there are either diary entries yes. from some of the characters that are mentioned in the book, or religious texts from the religion that lives in the that exists in this world, or from the AI that exists in this world. So there are all these things
like proclamations.
Yes, yep. So a lot of things going on in between that forward and move the story along without having to dedicate a whole chapter, which is actually kind of cool, letting you know how people are relating to each other, and more food for thought, especially in the first one. It's a lot of thoughts on death and gleaning, so you're already getting into the mindset of thinking about what it all means. And I like sometimes the non-traditional storytelling in that way. In this last one, we don't have a rating system for these, but I feel like it's important to point out. The first is it's a little bit more political than the other two. There's one very specific line which irked me only because when I'm really in a book world, I like to be in that book world. And if something brings me back to the actual world, it's annoying. So there's a line where the villain, and even if within the realm of the fact that mass gleaning might be okay because killing is his job, he's set up to be the villain. He kills in very cruel ways. He's mean to everybody. But someone suggests to him building a wall, and he says, oh, only idiots build walls, or building walls is stupid. And I thought, you have mass murdered and tortured so many people, and you have a problem with a wall. It just felt like such a commentary on the current political climate that I was pulled out of the story. And I don't like being pulled out of the story when I'm so deeply in it.
Especially if it's not a contemporary story.
Yeah.
And it's also, people stop. It's a mini rant. I'm not going on a full rant, but stop putting politics into everything. I can't, like, we're reading the book to get away from the politics.
Exactly.
Stop, it's enough. Just, people, please stop. Just please stop.
Yes. And then the other thing is that a character is introduced who's gender fluid. I wouldn't even say gender. Yeah, gender fluid just truly goes back and forth between male and female. Comes from a country or part of the world that they don't choose gender at all. And there's nothing. The characters can be whatever, but it feels very much like, oh, I'm creating this token transgender or gender fluid, really, person because that's what people are talking about these days. That's what the kids are talking about. But there's really no purpose to the character's gender fluidity other than making a few points when this character comes in contact with others and has the opportunity, A, for them to say back to her, the character does end up primarily being a her, being able to say, oh yeah, no, I'm totally cool with that. Or for her to say to them, I find your gender binary decisions so strange, I'm not used to it. So other than using her, which I think I always find it very offensive when people are used just as a token. And again, there's no point, not that there has to be a point to someone's sexuality, but if you're bringing in this whole new country with a whole new set of beliefs when we already have a whole world of set of beliefs, There should really be a reason for it.
Yeah. Also, he gives... Like, it's like when the sun... What have they describe it? Like, when it's cloudy, then I'm a female, when it's cloudy, then I'm male.
And when it's sunny, something. Female.
Like, I don't know why that makes any more sense.
Yeah, I actually felt like it was kind of insulting because there are people who are really gender fluid, and I don't think it changes. He says in his notes in the back that he wanted it to sound poetic and beautiful, but I think it actually is a really cheap shot at people who might really live that way. I don't think it's a spur of the moment, oh, this is how the weather is today type of deal.
Yeah, that does sound very flaky.
Yeah. So I found it kind of offensive and, again, purposeless. So, oh, great, we're going to put in this character because that's what we need. Like, no, make the character... The character was cool, served a purpose as a character, but that part didn't seem necessary. But, again, other than those two specific things that kind of bothered me, couldn't put it down. Actually found a book that was interesting me more than the current TV shows I'm watching, which hasn't happened for a while. I just have been in a book desert. So I still recommend reading the whole series, for sure.
Specifically because there is a lot to talk about from it. We were trying to... And deciding what to speak about, it was difficult to try to narrow down because there is so much to say. Neil Schusman really does a great job in creating a world that can be spoken about, not in the sense of, oh, we're just going to fangirl, fanboy over characters, yeah. But in the sense of, wow, what if a world functioned like this? Like, what would that mean? What would that mean to people? You know, where would religion play into all this? Where would, we would just the way we... You know, we would
relate to people.
How to relate to people or economic situations or all these things. How can that all fit into this? Like, if you know you can live forever and yeah. Or be brought from the back from the dead, like, how would that change the way you functioned from a day to day? You know, what would be meaningful in your life? Because so much of meaning is around the fact that it's moments are fleeting, or that we can't have it all the time. So if you could have it all the time, what would that mean? So there's definitely a lot to talk about. And if somehow you could definitely stick to the first book, it will be hard because Neil Schusman's a really good writer. And even with the romance aspects of it, he still knows how to keep the romance very much to the side of the main story. He doesn't let the romance take over.
Yeah.
And that's in general, I think, for him, from any of the books that I've read from mm-hmm. him, they're very much like that.
Right. It's not a romance. It's characters living lives. They might happen to have a romantic encounter because yes. Real people have those. Yeah. Yeah. So, in the interest of time, because we could probably talk about these books for hours, but we'll stop here and then let you pick them up. Go to your nearest library or Barnes & Noble or Amazon or whatever, but definitely read these books, and then you'll have some... Share them with your friends, because then you'll really have something to talk about. What our mom just called? Grilled cheese or PB&J for you today?
Definitely PB&J.
Okay, so we're going to go have lunch, and I guess we'll be back after... I might have two sandwiches, so it might be a while.
She's impossible. She's impossible.
Well, I can't pick between PB&J and grilled cheese, so I have to have one of each.
You know what? Next time I'm going to have to start off with a funny story about PB&J sandwiches.
All right. I guess we'll see you next time.
Until then.